All right. Good. Let me hear from this back table. Somebody profound, articulate. Speak to us. Rev, you've been elected. What did you learn? Put the microphone in your face. Thank you. How does the deeper understanding need to go away of the gospel?
Well, from our group discussion.
Otto, can we get it back up, the question? Yeah, go ahead.
From our group discussion, what I've surmised that... Natawa tuloy ako. Na-laugh tuloy ako. That Pastor Lee said that the sinful nature of man will not allow him or cannot allow him to delegate power to others because we're so self-absorbed.
Yeah, great.
We're like, just like Pastor Jeff said, that we like to power trip somehow.
Right.
And but because of the gospel, then we understand now that because of that salvation, now we are saved for a purpose, and that purpose is beyond us. So it's not just about us anymore. It's about the God that we serve. And we know that we cannot do it. Surely, as pastors, we know that we cannot do it on our own. And because we serve a higher purpose, it's not just our name.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, we can do this. Then it's easy for us to empower others because we know that we're all, the cliche, we're all in this together.
It's great.
And because it's not our purpose anyway, then we get whoever we can. We empower whoever we can to achieve that purpose of God.
Right.
For that is beyond our lives.
That was excellent. Christian?
Based from our discussion, I guess it's pretty much the same, that because of the example of Christ, just the principles that he taught, and even, I guess, because of what he has done for us, we've been set free from a lot of things that would hinder us from becoming effective leaders or empowering leaders at that.
Yeah.
I guess the need for approval from people.
Good.
It's been, you know, we've been set free from that. The need for, you know, just the hoarding or applause of men. I guess it's the same, but yet even the need for power or influence based from the world standards has become different because of what Christ has done.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's great. Now, let me ask you this. How many here have been completely, totally, 100% free, 100% set free from the need for approval from others? Let me see your hand. What? Totally set? Oh, really? All of us? So we're still sinners, huh? So we need to go deeper to the gospel every day because that need is still alive in us, right? So the gospel shows us the magnitude of our debt. And as we think about that, we realize I can't lead anyone anywhere except to hell. That's all I can do. You follow me, I'm taking you straight to hell. So it produces true, genuine what? Genuine what? In us. Huh? Keep going. What does it produce in us? That knowledge, the magnitude of our debt, produces in me what?
Gratitude.
Before gratitude... Humility, real genuine humility. Humility is not an act. It's not something I work at. I am humble because I am so wicked. So it produces a genuine, true humility. So if I'm not aware of that, I'll try to lead people to manipulate them to get what I want. If I want approval, then I won't confront. I'll be real easygoing. People get what they want. Because leadership is really about me. It's really about my needs. Right? It also shows me not only the magnitude of my debt, but the greatness of his provision. And so the greatness of his... If the magnitude of his debt produces humility, what does the greatness of his provision produce in me? Yeah? What else are we looking for? Would be sort of a corollary of humility.
Security.
Not superiority. What? Security, we're going in the right direction, yeah? Yeah, keep going. We're good. Boy, I haven't hit the... Yeah, that's... The word I'm looking for is confidence. But, I mean, we were hitting it, right? So, I have real confidence. Now, genuine humility and real confidence at the same time. Martin Luther's expression was, used the Latin, simul justus et peccator. Simultaneously a sinner and righteous at the same time. Produces you true humility and true confidence. And so leadership is not about my need for control or for comfort or for power or for approval, because I get all that where? In the gospel. So I get all my approval from the gospel, so I don't need it from you or from the approval you get because I'm a real strong, dominant, powerful leader. So I can really give genuine authority, because I'm not looking for this leadership role as a functional savior in my life. Now, of course, the reality is all of us as leaders, there's still a remnant that we look to our role in leadership to save us. It gives us comfort, control, power, or approval, those great four great motivational drives. And so as we preach the gospel to ourselves every day, as it goes deeper, we become more effective, empowering leaders, because the gospel is doing its work in us, and we know that the greatness of his provision, I am loved and forgiven, and everything I need is in the gospel. And so I don't need all those things that other people need from leadership, so I can really give genuine authority to others. So we preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Great discussion. All right, Pastor Manny, you ready for third session?
Sure. Thanks. Well, I think just this interaction in many ways sets up what I'm about to share with you. I have two handouts from two different sources, and I just want to run through them because it will help us understand more. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you already had it. Go ahead and distribute. Yeah, it'll help us understand in a greater measure how we can be an empowering type of leader, okay? Having established that the basis of our leadership is really the work of Christ in our lives and the call of God as well. I think, let me wait until, don't look at them first, because anyway, we'll get into that in a moment, so... We want to look first at the 10 actions by leaders. Just put that on in front of you, and then let me continue what I was sharing. Okay. All right. Can I have your attention now? As I said earlier, as we've concluded just in a few minutes ago, that the basis of our being who we are as leaders is the finished work of Christ and really the call of God on our lives. Remember, Paul said that he saved us and called us not because of our own righteousness, but because of his own purpose and calling. I never really sought to be a leader in my life. I was perfectly content just doing my own thing. But God in his grace has appointed me to his service. And I think that sense of, number one, that humility coming from the fact that we don't deserve any of this, but yet in the same vein, it's also his hand working upon us to put us in this place. And I think what gives me the motivation to do what I'm doing still is to simply respond and obey what God has called me to do. Anyway, I think that in many ways liberates us to be leaders that are not easily swayed, but you know, have that confidence as well. Again, I just because of knowing Pastor Steve, I know he, in many ways he demonstrates that type of leadership. One thing I've appreciated about him, and these have been comments by some of the International Apostolic Team, what they so appreciate about Pastor Steve is he's just so steady. He just keeps at it every day. It's like he goes from one meeting to another. I mean, when we were in the States. And how does he do it? I think he never says this, but I've learned that. He just knows. This is God appointed him to his service. It wasn't his own doing. He's been a reluctant leader all this time. Remember, an accidental missionary. And not that we have to be that. I think to aspire to leadership is also a noble thing, as Paul says. Some of you may have had that motivation. I didn't have that motivation. Maybe it was more out of just not wanting to work at something except my own thing. And I think that's what the Lord delivered me from, is just selfishness and to give myself for the work of his service. Anyway, I want to show you two materials to help, again, us appreciate what empowering leadership is all about. The first one is this Dr. Daniel Elliott. He and his colleagues are professors at Azusa Pacific University. It's a Christian university, and they teach on this subject. In fact, the material I got this from is it's called The Leader's Anthology, Readings on Current Leadership Issues. And I don't know the basis of his list, but he calls 10 actions by leaders that successfully empower team members. And when we look at these lists, again, these are observations of the types of leaders that people look, people follow and feel that they're empowered. And so I think using this list helps us, again, to mirror that to our lives and saying, is this true in our lives? Number one is to admit mistakes. Studies show that leaders taking responsibility for their own behavior is important in establishing trust with and among workers. Now, and I think this probably applies not just to in the church context, but even in the business world and whatever sphere. Now, let me say one more thing, though, at least to frame our discussion later on. I guess when we're talking about empowering leadership, obviously we want to equip ourselves to be that. But the nature of our relationship with the church people is in two dimensions. One is the members of the church. The other one is our own staff. So remember, always think about that, because I think there's some nuances that we need to have in the way we relate with our own staff versus volunteers who serve in the church. Okay, but anyway, admit mistakes. Number two is to listen. Listening skills include paraphrasing, probing for clarity, and being willing to change one's own behavior. Next is teaching skills. Effective leaders teach to train their staff members generic participation and assistance skills like collaboration, conflict mediation, rapport building, and group functioning. Next is to be a model. Effective leaders model all which they expect of effective team members. Next is acknowledge people. Skillful leaders give credit, recognize contributions, and constantly provide non-contingent reinforcements. The message they communicate to staff members conveys a sense of valuing personal worth. Okay, so far so good, okay? Next is to use third-party praise. What does he mean by that? Top-performing leaders are known to take every opportunity to pass along positives observed and heard of. They find ways of letting others take the credit for what they might normally be directed at the leaders themselves, which normally might be directed to them. They share credit with people by name, okay? Demonstrate credibility. Leaders who do their homework, talk knowledgeably, act skillfully, and keep reading current literature and sharing it will be recognized by their staff members as credible. Okay? In other words, do your homework. Okay? Next is to be accessible. Effective leaders respond quickly and personally to team member requests. They recognize that people are the most important resource in an organization. Ninth is good leaders say thanks. Good leaders always find ways to express gratitude to staff for their efforts. It's part of the validating process. And number 10, I like this. Empowering leaders do not abdicate leadership responsibilities, okay? But rather model effective decision-making for their staff members, okay? There will be times when the staff will want and need the leaders to demonstrate efficient and appropriate decision-making abilities. To me, this is such a crucial skill, again, because you can, you're able to reproduce after your own kind, isn't it? And as a leader, you make a lot of decisions, isn't it? And some are collaborative, some are, again, just make decisions. You know, they're, I guess, depending on your theme, that can be a determinant of how you make decisions. But to me, every skill is important. But in my mind, personally, this is such an important skill if you're going to be a credible leader. And certainly you need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But I realize sometimes, you know, we ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? And God doesn't always tell you directly what to do. He wants you to grow in wisdom, and you make the decision trusting in that it is the right thing to do. Again, it's I know I'm saying that in without qualifying that, but I've learned it in my own walk with God, and as a person who's been entrusted with leadership responsibility, decision-making is such a crucial skill, an important skill in being an effective leader. So empowering of team members is not done easily. It is especially not accomplished by leaders who keep a hands-off approach to instructional activities. It is not mere delegation of the leader's responsibilities. It involves both a sharing of power and an enabling of the team members to perform well in the shared function. It is widely stated that leaders who can effectively share power and authority gain more than they give away. Isn't that interesting? Okay, the more you give it, the more you actually gain. I think that's an encouragement to us. You know, what you do simply when you're sharing power. I know we haven't really defined even what power is, but I think we understand what it means. It's really that ability to make decisions, ability to choose and to decide a course of action that will go one way. Think about that. I mean, the myriad of decisions we make on a daily basis, not just in our personal lives, but in the church context. You know, from the preaching series we have to the day-to-day operations, you know, to how you're going to lead the service or what songs you're going to choose. I mean, there's just so many decisions we make all the time. And again, as our ministries have grown, I think these qualities, these actions, the more we cultivate them in our lives, help us become more effective in our ministries. Let me leave it at that, and then let me share with you another material which will really be the basis of our discussion. Both are actually related, and you'll see why. But this is another source. Main references we've had in helping understand how our churches are doing is the NCD. Everybody's familiar with NCD, right? Natural Church Development, and it was there that I understood that what is most important, at least in the area of church growth, is not church growth per se, but church health. Okay, because remember the premise of Schwartz is if a church is healthy, then a church will grow. And some in the past we've had sometimes an unhealthy focus. In general, okay, I'm not talking about victory necessarily, but if the focus has only been on church growth without appreciating the importance of church health, then we miss out on the task that God has given to us. And so what he has developed is, through his extensive research, to me one of the most extensive done, and that's why it has so much credibility and authority, is that he has discovered 8 essential qualities of what makes a healthy church. Now, we've actually, I remember we did share our EN criteria, so we've modified that. But I think the 8 qualities are still valid, and one of those essential qualities is, in fact, the very first one is what's called empowering leadership. And so what I've decided to do, to bring application to what we've learned earlier in the first session on the concepts of empowering leadership, we want to bring that to bear upon what we do on a day-to-day basis as pastors. And for you to appreciate what this material is all about, it's a set of evaluation questions that help us understand and determine to what extent a church exhibits empowering leadership. Okay? And these evaluation questions were developed from an analysis of what are the strengths and the weaknesses of the church. Remember those 8 essential qualities? We did a survey of that. And what happens is if you realize one particular quality is the least that's in the church, is the weakest, then you focus all of your energies on addressing that weakness and using your strength. Okay? And so in order to find, if let's say empowering leadership is the weakest link, okay, if you will, then you use these evaluation questions to see what is existent in the church in regard to empowering leadership. And so these are the evaluation questions. And I'd like us to just look through them quickly, and then we're going to have a discussion and say, okay, to what extent is this true in our own ministries and in our own lives? And then I hopefully that will, again, stimulate reflection on our own part and some action steps perhaps to help us in improving the skill in our lives. Okay, so there are 5 specific areas that the NCD survey measures which is related to enabling leadership. And what are these following? Now, number 1 is the match of the pastor to the congregation. Number 2 is delegation. Number 3 is leadership through vision. Number 4 is leadership through equipping. And number 5 is leadership through leading change. So my understanding of this is that these 5 criteria is what constitutes leadership that empowers people and raises and multiplies the leaders in the church. Okay? And so let's look at each of the guide questions. I'll breeze through them anyway, just as a basis of our thinking. And then I'm going to ask you a question to apply this. So match of the pastor to the congregation. In fact, before I go on, I want you to think, okay, why does this particular criteria bring about empowering leadership? I think we need to ask that question. And particularly this one, like match of the pastor to the congregation. Why is that relevant to empowering leadership? Well, if you look at the guide questions, I think it'll answer that. Okay? It's interesting. We're answering it by asking questions. Okay? So, how many of you know questions can be very useful? Okay? Remember, Jesus would respond to the questions with another question. Okay? So when you talk about the match of the pastor to the congregation, how do the duties of our pastor is responsible for in our church fit his or her gifts and abilities? I think that's a valid question. Next, where is your pastor currently working in areas of strength, where in areas of non-strengths? Now think about this for yourself and think about this with your other peers of leaders. Okay, to what extent does the vision of the church match the vision of our pastor? I think that's interesting too. Next, delegation. How is delegation used in your church? Okay. Next, what is our pastor doing now that could be delegated? 3, what hinders effective delegation from happening in our church? Powerful questions. Next, leadership through vision. What role does vision play in our church? Okay, I think we can easily answer that. I think we're a very vision-oriented ministry. Next, how clearly could a congregation explain the vision in your church? I'd like to think that to a large extent, I think our people understand the vision. I think we, it's good for us to examine this maybe 10 years from now. How well are our people still, able to grasp our vision? How are people treated in our church that continually have new ideas of how to do ministry? Number 4, how often do our leaders schedule time for receiving vision from God and planning? 5, how do we share vision with our congregation? And number 6, what prevents people from committing to our vision? Next, leadership through equipping. What training is available for people beginning ministry in our church? Okay, I think this is something I believe that's clear-cut with us. What positions of ministry have no training available? That's a good question too. How do we identify potential leaders? How much time does our pastor spend coaching leaders? What other leaders consistently spend time coaching and emerging leaders? Okay? And then number 5, I thought this was interesting as well. Leadership through leading change. I know we've had many changes in the last few years. What attempts at change have you made in your congregation in the last 3 years? How did the congregation respond to that change? How have people who have attempted change been treated? Do the current leaders of our church encourage change or discourage change? Okay? Now, given these two materials, I'd like us to have a discussion and like to ask this question. Okay? You can go back to your groups. And I want you to interact on this issue. Do we have it, Ado? In the five areas of enabling leadership, okay, or empowering leadership, okay, that's the older version. I think empowering and enabling actually are synonymous in that sense. No? What would you consider as a strength, and what would you need to work on in your, at least in your own personal leadership? And then explain that, okay? What would you say is a grace or a strength in my life? And what would you say is something you need to develop more and explain?
Mark, go ahead and grab a mic. Okay, Mark, talk to us. Five areas of enabling leadership. What would you consider as a strength? Talk to us.
I guess the strength was really...
This is for you personally.
Yeah, leadership through equipping.
Yeah, leadership through equipping. Well, number based, four, right?
Yeah, because...
Why is that?
I oversee kids' ministry, so I... Most of the time, I really work with volunteers.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of training, equipping that's,
right.
That's happening. How to preach, how to deal with the kids. So
yeah.
Leadership is really more on equipping.
But why does that come natural to you? Or easier? Why is it a strength to you?
Well, I guess because of the nature of my work and the way how I was mentored. So it becomes my model also of raising up leaders.
So that's how you saw it. And what do you think is your weakness out of these five?
I guess the weakness is having none of the... And just kidding, I'm just kidding.
You have no weaknesses. Is that what it is?
I guess... no, because of Jesus Christ...
Then why are you in the class and not leading the class?
I guess because of Jesus Christ, my weakness becomes my strength. I guess maybe it's leading through leadership through leading change.
Number five?
Yeah.
Leadership through leading change. Why is that a challenge to you?
Because as we always say that change is constant.
Yeah.
But the problem is when people they're not into changing properly. For me, it's you know that change is necessary, but how to communicate it to them for them to really grasp the idea of change.
So is that the weakness, that your ability to communicate?
Well, yeah, I guess something that I need to really need help in working on to for people to really jump into that idea of change, because sometimes they get to settle in their own laurels. This is how we do things.
Right.
Comfortable for us. So
how many others find this to be a challenge for you? So what are some of the ways, Newell, that you handle this? Yeah, if it's a challenge.
Well,
Mark, why are you sitting down? Keep standing. You're on the hot seat.
I'm sat.
Okay. We're going to try to solve all your problems right here.
Well, the reality of it, my strength can also be my strength in the areas of my gifting. But then, however, the responsibilities that's accorded to my responsibility is actually the constant change. So left to myself, I would rather really be, doing it the way it's used to be done.
Okay.
However, things are really changing, so it's not really that easy for me to adapt to the necessary changes.
Yeah,
because you've already
that's Mark's
gone
problem.
Through.
So how are we going to how do you manage that? What do you do?
How I manage it is that I have to put it in my mind that there's always going to be a change in the society. What works 10 years ago may not necessarily work this year. So I have to really adapt.
So it's philosophical at first, that you get the right philosophy of ministry. The change, constant change is here to stay. And just being aware of that helps you.
Being aware of that helps me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Dennis.
This is also my weakness, and I believe it's because one of my strengths is belief.
Yeah.
And when you have that belief, it's hard to change.
Right.
One thing that I found good to be able to overcome this weakness is to surround myself with people who are ready to change and to delegate it to them. Once I delegate it to them, they start working on it, and then I start running with them.
Yeah.
I get involved in the change in the long time.
Excellent. Down the road. Excellent. Yeah. Bernard.
Yeah, I think at some point I can help you.
Why are all the Fort guys having problems with change?
No, because one of my...
Oh, yeah, Joey. Okay.
No. On this part, I don't have a... No, Pastor Paul, this is a different one. I think this is considered one of my strengths.
Okay, yeah.
I lead through change because I always constantly change my mind. You know why? The strength that I have is ideation.
Yeah, I guess.
That's my number one. So, which means I know for a fact that life is moving.
Yeah.
You have to constantly navigate.
Right.
So, what helps me is foresight, vision. What helps me understand also is hindsight, that I'm still alive, which means I should not be depressed. Change will always be there. So more ideation, more people, because I'm ideation by nature, it's easy for me to find options. The problem with change if you don't have options.
Yeah, but the challenge that we're talking about, keep standing, is not for us changing, but how do we work with the people or lead the people who don't want to change?
Yeah.
Then you have to have the ability to persuade and lead. Persuade that you are gonna be an example for them, because when you lead them, they don't want to burn first. They want to see you burn first.
Burn, meaning
you suffer the consequence first of what's gonna be out there. So do it first. You know, model to them what's gonna happen. So I think when you lead through change, people would wanna understand the difficulty of the process that. From this place to that place, you want to lead through understanding, giving the people what could be the possible things out there and how easy that could be for them. So giving them small steps. Okay, for example,
small steps. Okay.
Practical things that they could use. So empowering, I think attached to this is equipping. So you lead through equipping.
Yeah.
So that it will not be hard for them to make that huge leap.
Okay, great. Jeff?
Paul.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
I guess what really helped me in overcoming this weakness is really more on putting value on the change, that it is better compared to the previous one. So when I start communicating that this will help us in the long run.
It's better.
I help them understand the value of why we are having to go through this change.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent, yeah. Jeff, you had your hand up? Another Fort guy.
Yeah, I think, Pastor Pao, you have to establish the issue of trust. Because sometimes if you change a lot of things, it creates instability.
Yeah.
Why do you have to change right now? We just changed it a few months ago. But it will make it look like that you're not, you don't know what you're doing. Yeah. But once you establish the trust that we're doing this for the betterment of all of us, and you created that relationship that we're doing this because it's for all of us. We're moving in one vision and all of that. And I think change can easily be, people will run with you knowing that they trust you enough.
Yeah.
And they will not just see you as a headless chicken who don't know what to do.
Headless chicken. Go ahead, Richard.
Around May, we had a change in U-Belt because of the setup.
Right.
Looking at this leadership through leading change, I think the important thing is being able to communicate the vision again, casting the vision again to the people you're leading so that they will not be thinking of a million ideas. Why suddenly this change that might cause instability, that might cause a lot of fears at times. And so when last May, when we had some setup change, what we as a leadership team did was to think through how we could communicate it properly so that people will not be surprised. Why this change? Just last week, we had this kind of a setup, and then this Sunday, you throw us in an overflow room, something like that.
Yeah.
So that's what we kept on doing for the past months until such time the people right now in U Belt are able to understand that we're growing and we're basically moving towards the right direction, something like
great.
That.
Great. Yeah, there were some other hands over here. Dennis, go ahead.
Again, just to share. One of the biggest changes I had in my life was to learn how to use the computer at an old age. Not old age, excuse me. But it was that difficulty.
I like the first term you use, old.
That difficulty came because there was fear of making a mistake.
Yeah.
Change usually is difficult because people fear that if they do change, they're there and they might make a mistake. One of the greatest things about our movement is our leadership is willing to accept a degree of mistakes from the leaders that they empower.
Yeah.
And because of that, if we are able to tell them, go ahead and run, just like what Pastor Steve said about a wiki church, go ahead and run. Mm. And if you stumble, I'll come over, help you up, pat off the dust, and then get you running again.
That's great.
I think that's one thing that we can do with people that we want to empower.
Yeah.
Tell them that it's okay to make mistakes. We'll be there right beside you to lift you up after that.
But you have to model that, right? So when they do make mistakes, everybody's watching how you handle that mistake.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's you set the course for whether people are going to be willing to take that risk. Sky, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, one of the ways that I try to handle leadership through, this is also one of my things I'm working on.
Number five.
And I resolved to go through study of the word and asking for counsel, so that when I effect the change, it's more biblical, not only in method but in content.
It's great.
So, because usually the resistance is less if it's from the word, and I believe, because I'm belief also, so I believe that if we change according to what God is speaking to us at the time and in our situation, it will be more lasting. So.
Yeah, that's great. Pastor Manny, we got a few minutes. Do you want to make any last comments? Oh, no, you can sit, Mark. Thank you. Bernard's cruel.
You know, a major, major need in our movement, you've heard this again and again, is developing new leaders. I believe as we're able to cultivate this kind of leadership, an empowering leadership, I believe we will be able to raise new leaders. Humility is not just, it's not so much putting yourself down, but having an honest appraisal of who you really are in Christ. And I think we can all say together that by God's grace, we have cultivated this kind of a culture in our own movement. And that's why we have you. That's why we have so many leaders in our own ministry. That's why I believe also the Lord has entrusted to us. I guess it's, personally, this is one of the most fascinating things I like to study on. In fact, it's helping me again, see some more of what I'm really, there's just so many things. All of us are undergoing change, and with the responsibility I have right now, studying this, it's like, wow, I feel energized, and I'm trusting that there will be more in store for us in this particular study. So I appreciate the interaction, because I didn't really know how this was going to go, this being a new subject, but it stimulates you guys to, because it's something we are in right now. It's something that we live and face. And I so appreciate what Pastor Paul said, that the basis of us of who we are. And, you know, we are what we are by the grace of God. And that grace was not without effect. It caused us to even work harder than most. I hope that this study has inspired you to, number one, to appreciate the great privilege we've had. One of the scriptures I pray on an almost daily basis is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, if I'm not mistaken. I thank my God who has considered me faithful that he has entrusted the gospel to me. If there's one thing I'm grateful for on an almost daily basis is that somehow he would see me as worthy of being a co-laborer with him and entrusted with the gospel. And that empowers me to do what I do. And I think in the, again, I think this, as we propagate this culture, not just a leadership culture, but empowering leadership culture, there's no telling as to what else the Lord will have us do as a movement. So I'm glad that at least you're our guinea pig for this particular session. We trust that this has been a fruitful time for you guys, okay? That's it.